Welcome to episode 60 of the Tax Professionals Podcast. In this episode, we hear real stories of three tax professionals in relation to undertaking tax research, challenges they've faced, and how they've gotten better. This episode is a special one for me because we have three people who have recently attended my Trial Tax Research Masterclass, and they're joining us to share their stories in relation to tax research, including their challenges, what they've done to get better, and their tips to help you improve. They've all kindly given up their time to do this, and also to help me to spread the word about the masterclass that is now open for anyone to enrol onto. Tax research is a skill that I personally think is fundamental for any tax professional. It allows you to find the answer to any tax question, and it allows you to provide the best advice to your clients. But at the same time, I think it's a skill that many overlook and put into the too hard pile. I've seen this firsthand at work, and I think it's a real shame. But at the same time, it's what's inspired me to create the Tax Research Masterclass, to give people the practical skills to undertake quality tax research and document their findings, whether they're in the early stages of their career, moved into a role where they need to do tax research now, or any other reason. You'll hear about the different backgrounds of our three guests, Devinder Talwar, Autumn Murphy, and Monica Jorgala. You'll hear about their own unique challenges with tax research, and also what they've done to get better. Head on over to thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/masterclasses for more information on the masterclass and how to enrol. That's thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/masterclasses. The live sessions for the next one will be run in December this year, December 2022. First up in this episode, we have Devinder Talwar. You'll hear him talk about how he's recently really grown in confidence when doing tax research, and he also talked about his current starting point when doing tax research. Timings for each person's segment can be found in the details section of this episode within your podcast player, or by heading on over to the show notes at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP60. Just one last thing before we jump into the episode. If, like me, you're interested in knowing what you're worth in terms of salary, then get in touch with James from the tax recruitment company to benchmark what you're currently on. From his interaction with many different businesses and tax professionals, he has current knowledge of salary rates based on experience and specialism. Speaking with James could help you to negotiate a pay rise or determine if it's time to find a new role. Contact details for James can be found in the show notes for this episode at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP60. Or you can book a chat with him by heading on over to thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/salary chat. So get in touch with James to benchmark your salary or to discuss potentially available roles, particularly if you work in corporation tax, as he is currently recruiting for many roles in this area. Without further ado, let's get to the episode. So if you don't mind then, just to start, Dav, do you mind just telling us a little bit about kind of where you're at with your tax career now and what you do at work?
Yeah, so I've been in tax now for 3 years, and I'm a tax senior at HSKSG. I'm based in the Derby office there. So my role predominantly is compliance at the moment. So, receiving, requesting information, tax return information, receiving that, getting it saved to the system, and preparing the tax returns for the client, as well as the cover letter and all of the other documentation to go with it. It is, you know, pretty much an end-to-end process.
Yeah.
So that's what I do day in, day out, really.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of like qualification stuff, you're almost ATT qualified now, aren't you?
Almost getting there, yeah. So I had first-time passes in the personal tax, business tax, and the IHT trust and estate paper. So I've just got the CBEs to do now. Got all the study books for them. So hopefully by the end of this year, I'll be done with ATT, and next year we'll be going on to CTA.
Yeah, sweet. Everyone always underestimates the CBEs, I think. They're not as easy as what you think they would be. So
yeah, I've heard that. So I'm making sure I'm getting my head down.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. It's the way to do it. So then if your role is kind of mainly compliance-based at the moment, then how does kind of doing tax research currently feature for you then at work?
So there's not too much that I've had to deal with really in the past, because it was more compliance-based, and it's only as and when, you know, these queries come up, ad hoc queries from clients where they want to know something a little bit more niche, or if I get stuck on something while I'm doing a tax return, because, you know, sometimes your mind goes blank and you sometimes second guess what you've put down, and you just need to check a piece of information before you send it off to the client for approval or for review. So they're the only real times that I've had to do tax research. But now that I'm getting more settled into my role, I am taking on a bit more responsibility. I am getting more ad hoc work from the management team, and that type of work entails me to actually go out and research stuff for the managers to take back to their clients as well. And I'm looking at moving into doing some advisory work in the future. So there's not too much research at the moment, but there will be a lot more coming.
Do you feel like doing a good job of the tax research is going to help you to get involved more in that advisory work, because you can kind of show people that you're doing a good job and stuff?
100%, yeah. I mean, if I'm getting these ad hoc tasks now, and I prove that I am doing a good job of it, and I am, you know, getting quality research and putting quality information in front of my management team, then yeah, I think that will open up a door for me to move into that kind of work.
Yeah, it's good, because obviously advisory, so many kind of new things can come up that you've never even seen before. You have to do a lot of research in it, don't you? So, you know, your management probably needs someone to do it. They could probably do it, but it takes some time and stuff. So to have support from their staff, obviously, is really good for them as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And what I'm trying to do as well is, you know, build my experience, build that knowledge that I have, so I can be, you know, an asset to the team.
Yeah. What would you say then for you personally, then, that you find difficult about doing tax research?
So the most difficult thing was actually figuring out where to start the research. It may seem a bit silly to say that, but you know, it's all about, you know, having a good foundation to build your research on and starting at the right place. Because when I did my ATT exams, they were computer based. I never really had to look at the yellow books or the legislation, really, because in these study manuals, it would always tell you where to start the research or where you need to go to. So sometimes I find myself just pulling out my revision manuals just to, you know, find a basis of where to start. So that was always difficult for me personally. And another thing was finding reliable and credible sources of information as well. Because I did revert to some Google searching, and checking on there as well. And you'd come across, like, obviously, you'd come across legislation and HMRC guidance, but you'd also find websites where firms have just written up a piece of information, but at the bottom, really what they want to do is get you to give them a call. So you've always got to be a bit careful about where you're getting your information from and making sure the source is credible.
So what would you do now then as your starting point? Would you still go to your study manuals, or would you do something else now?
So now what I would do is, obviously taking the advice from the masterclass, is going to sources like Krona, actually, and looking at those resources that are available to me. And for example, Krona has a massive library. You can search specifically for what you're looking for on there, and dive into the information they have there, and then I just take it from there. There'll be links to legislation or guidance, and at least I know that when I'm doing that and I've gone to Krona directly, I am, you know, starting from a good place.
Yeah, it's I think one of the problems is with tax research, particularly when you go to Google, there's just so much out there as well. It's a bit like overwhelming in a way. One thing I do like about having like a particular source to start with is it cuts out a lot of that straight away and lets you to get straight to something useful. Is that what you found with like using stuff like Krona as well?
Yeah, I see. I mean, you know, I feel like I can trust that more than just going onto the internet and, you know, and just searching and going through all of the links that come up.
Yeah. What other stuff do you have available at work then? Do you have any like Tolly's books or Tolly's Yellow Tax books? Do you have any stuff like that, or is it just Krona for you guys?
I think Krona is the main thing that I've seen. But to be fair, I've not been at this role for too long, so I've not explored what are the resources are available at the moment. That's something I still need to look into. I'm sure there are some, but I definitely know Kroner is there. So, you know, that's always a good starting point for me.
It is. And I think Kroner is a great source as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise how useful Kroner is until I sat on this masterclass. And just being able to see Kroner being used in real time, seeing a live example of it, it just really opens your eyes to how much is actually on there and what you can do with it.
Again, actually, I think that probably is one of the downsides of Kroner, actually, because there is so much on it. You do actually need to be shown how to use it to kind of know the quick way to find stuff. Like, I'm a natural person who likes to, like, play around with stuff. So when we got access to it at my place, like, I just messed with it for probably, like, 2 hours just trying to figure stuff out and stuff. And as soon as you've done that, it's fine. But to start with, it's, like, overwhelming. And if I didn't do that, I'd have no idea probably how to use it still now.
Yeah, I did find the same thing when I started dabbling into using Kroner. But yeah, the more experience you get, you know, the better you get at using it, and you do become a lot more efficient. So I've been playing around with that as much as possible recently, so I can, you know, make sure I'm making good use of my time when I do need to use it for real.
Yeah, absolutely. Good idea. So for you then, what do you think made you want to get better at doing tax research in particular? I know you've kind of mentioned about the advisor stuff and wanting to get involved in that. Was that mainly it, or was there anything else as well?
Yeah, so there's that way. I mean, research is a massive skill, you know, that you should be using in your day-to-day role. And it's not something that is usually taught to you. I mean, when I've done my ATT, there was obviously looking into legislation and guidance to help me with my studies, but it's not something that's usually on a syllabus. So I definitely needed, you know, some extra guidance on that. I realized it's one of those areas of development for me, so I wanted to, you know, get better at that so I could be more confident in providing good quality research and good quality information to clients, to my colleagues, like I've said, to be an asset to my team as well. The other thing was actually to be more confident in what I'm doing, just for me personally. Because, like I said before, I was just going onto the internet or checking my study manuals, and, you know, it kind of felt like I was lost and I didn't have, you know, structure when I was looking for information. So the quality of my research probably wasn't as good as it should have been. So just being more confident in knowing that I'm using the correct resources and I'm, you know, going to the right places online and using credible sources as well, just gives me that confidence to be able to go back to somebody and say, yes, this is what I've found, this can be trusted.
Yeah, I think you're probably selling yourself a little bit short there by saying it probably wasn't good quality for. I'm sure it was, but because I suppose now you've got reassurance that what you were doing before was good, whereas until you get that, you don't really know whether you're doing a good job or not.
Yeah.
Because you don't really have someone sitting over your shoulder and telling you what to do and how to do it, do you, with tax research? It's one of those things, really, you're left to pick up by yourself in a way.
Yeah, you just get given a task and then you've got to do it. And then once it's done, you get the feedback, don't you?
Yeah. And you get the feedback on the output of it, like not what happened along the way as well. Do you know what I mean? So apart from the masterclass then itself, like, what have you done to get better then at your tax research?
So apart from the masterclass, what I've been doing is just going online, playing around with Kroner AI. Again, that's the main thing that I've been doing, and just, you know, getting the feel for that more and getting comfortable with that resource, because that is the main one that I am using at the moment. So it's just going onto there, seeing if I can, like, find something that I am interested in, seeing if I can, you know, read further into a piece of legislation, or, you know, something that's like a hot topic at the moment. So I've been doing things like that, and also actually just debating things with colleagues as well. So if a colleague has had a view on something, I, you know, try to, like, get a view on it by having a look, doing my own research and saying, look, this is what I found. Do you agree with this? If not, what's your interpretation of this legislation? So I've done that a few times with my manager, Jason Hancock, who's been really good with actually coming back to me and saying, look, actually, this is what I think it is. What are your thoughts on it? And then I'll tell him, you know, how I've interpreted something, and then, you know, together we can get to the bottom of what we're looking for.
That's a really good environment to learn, actually. I'm a big advocate of debating because I think it really allows you to kind of, one, demonstrate that you've understood what you've read, and it also helps you obviously to articulate your thoughts as well at the same time. So yeah, that sounds like a great thing.
Yeah, and I've been trying to, you know, kind of pick holes in my own research as well, just to be like, all right, if I put this in front of somebody, if they ask me this, what can I go back to them with? Like making sure, you know, I've got evidence for what I'm doing.
Yeah, being able to like counter any counter arguments in a way.
Yeah,
getting ready for it.
I love a good argument.
Yeah, same here. You and me both. One thing you did say there, actually, I thought was quite good is like researching stuff that you find interesting. Because obviously, if you're interested in something, you're more motivated to do it and find out more about it. And I think that's actually probably a good basis to start building stronger research skills around it. Because if you can find the answer to something that you're interested in, even if you're less interested in something, you're less motivated, at least you know you can then find the answer for that too.
Yeah, you're building the skills.
Yeah. What area would you say you're working on most now in relation to your tax research then to get better at?
So it's just a bit of everything, really. So I actually got one task today to research, and it's about a company director buying an overseas property and how that would affect him and what kind of benefit that would be to him. So that's actually quite interesting. And I like things like that because I like things around like properties and, you know, rentals and things like that as well. And I've got a lot of clients. I think that's where it comes from. A lot of my clients have rental properties. So I think that's where the interest comes from.
Yeah. Sounds like you're carving yourself out like a little niche there, actually, with that.
Yeah, if it carries on going that way. And I've dealt with, you know, a lot of high net worth individuals previously as well. And a lot of them have like investment properties and overseas properties as well. So that's always an interesting subject for me.
It's a good one as well, actually, because obviously you've done a lot of work with rental stuff and properties and that, and it goes to show there's still stuff you don't know the answer to. And I suppose that's where research comes in, isn't it, to help you out when you need to.
Oh, yeah. I found in tax, you can't know everything, so there's always going to be something that comes up.
Exactly. I completely agree. So have you got any like particular tips that you would like to leave with people that you think would help them to really improve their tax research?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think this masterclass, if they get an opportunity to go on it, they really should, because it does give you a solid foundation for what you need to be doing, and the tips and tricks that I've taken from that has really like boosted my confidence to be able to, you know, do good quality research. And the fundamentals that you develop as well, the priceless, really, for doing something that is going to be like intertwined in your career. And, you know, as your career progresses, you'll be doing more research. So being able to, you know, get the skills from this masterclass will go a long way in your future career. And the other thing is to just take your time doing research, just to make sure you are doing good quality work. I know previously, before doing this masterclass, I used to always want the answer straight away. And I used to think that I am a tax professional. If I don't know this, I should be able to get the answer straight away.
Yeah.
Which is maybe being a bit too hard on myself, knowing, you know, how much information is out there. But now that, you know, I've taken a step back, making sure I've taken the time to actually do the research and not rush through it, and making sure I'm reading around the area as well, just in case, you know, I've missed something, it's really paid dividends. And I think that's it. Just make sure you are being thorough with the research. And I think another point, actually, is to keep track of what you've done and what research you've done. Make good notes when you're, you know, dismissing some information that you don't think you need. Just keep a note of that in case it comes up. If you have a similar situation that you need to research, but there is a bit of a tweak to it, that information might come back up. And to kind of build a library of information as well. So the next time you do a piece of research, you don't need to start from scratch. You've already got some information that you've already looked into.
So if people want to kind of find out a bit more about you or get in contact, Devinder, where's the best places for them to go?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn at Davinder Talwar. So you can find me there. I work at HSKSG, based in the Derby office. And my email address is davinder.talwar@hsksg.co.uk. And I'll ask Jack to put those in the show notes so you got something to refer to.
He did make reference to Corona Eye and live demonstrations. In the masterclass, I showed people live how to do certain aspects of tax research, and one of the tools I used was Corona Eye. Just for completeness, I did also use Tollis and other resources too. As a listener of the podcast, you're able to get you, your business, employer, etc. a discount on Corona Eye's tax resources of up to 20%. To get the discount, you just need to register at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/Corona, and when you're speaking to them, you just need to mention that you're a listener of the podcast. Next up, we have Autumn Murphy. She's recently become CTA qualified and actually was a prize winner. She won 4 awards for the highest marks in her CTA exams. And so I was actually surprised when I saw her enrol on the course because I already thought she'd be super confident with tax research, but it turns out that she had a few areas that she really wanted to improve at. So let's get onto the section with Autumn. Just a reminder, to benchmark your salary, find out what you're worth, or discuss available tax rolls, get in contact with James at the Tax Recruitment Company. Contact details for James can be found in the show notes for this episode at taxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP60, or you can book a chat with him by heading on over to thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/salary chat. So if you don't mind, just to begin with then, Autumn, do you mind just tell us a little bit about kind of where you're at with your tax career now, what you do, qualifications, etc.?
I'm a tax assistant manager at Haynes Watts, Manchester, and I work in more OMBs kind of businesses and like reorganizations and things along the lines of that.
Yeah, all related to corporation tax type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of employment related securities in there, but a lot of corporation tax.
So how long have you been in tax now?
It's coming up 4 years now that I've been in tax. So I did 2 years in Guernsey over there, and then I came back to the UK and started working at Haynes Watts.
So basically started again with tax rules, was that?
Yeah, I didn't make it easy for myself.
No, but you're here now and you're CTA qualified, which is obviously all good. So then in your current role then, how does kind of tax research feature, like how do you get kind of involved with that? What type of work do you do?
So when we're doing the planning, there's always like questions to answer, and like you kind of know the legislation you need to look at, but then you've got to check that you haven't triggered anything that you don't want to trigger by putting like a plan in place for the client that's meant to work. So it's really important to make sure that you're looking into things and always aware of different bits. But then there are other projects where you're looking to answer a question if a client's come to you and they want to know the answer to a specific tax question of how somebody's going to be treated, or you need to consider double tax treaties if you've got more of the corporation side of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think there's a day that I don't do any research.
Do you kind of just get kind of given a task then around the research and then left to it to get on with it yourself, or do you have kind of support and stuff around you?
Yeah, I find it's more that the question coming from the client and we're kind of left to work it out. And then obviously there's a review process at the top level, but until you've got to the answer that you want to be at and prepared your report or your piece of work that you're doing for the client, then there isn't too much support.
Yeah, and then I bet that takes you a lot of time then, doesn't it, to get to that point of creating the report?
Yeah, because I think the biggest problem is that you feel like you're spending too much time, but I always think it's better to spend too much time and make sure you're right rather than rush it and be 50% right.
Yeah. Do you feel like the more tax research you do, though, the more you feel like it just takes a long time, or do you feel like do you still feel like you're taking too long then with research?
I feel like I've only been really working in advisory for about 6 months, really. But I found that I am getting better in terms of I know where to look for things and like what to do. And being part of your masterclass has really helped in terms of actually finding the right information and then being aware that you can look in other places too and where them places are.
What do you think's helped you then in terms of like speed? Is it just knowing where things are, or is it kind of some techniques and stuff as well that you've kind of found out about and put to use?
I think some of the best techniques that I think have helped is looking at Tollis and then seeing what like noticing the references for Simon Taxes or HMRC guidance, whereas I don't think I'd have picked up on that before properly, and how actually helpful it is, because it's obviously taking you directly to something that's related to what you're looking at, and it's more specific than if you were just to go into HMRC manual and try and find it yourself.
So really then, in terms of time, do you think it's I suppose knowing of the best places to look to find information to go and read, rather than just kind of stabbing in the dark almost in a way?
Yeah, because you can Google things and you'll come up with millions of results, won't you? Yeah. So I think just to have an awareness of where you can look for things has really been helpful, and that's something I've taken away from the course. And then also keeping a record of it, which I think we've talked about before, and where you keep notes of what you've read where, because you can get into habit of reading something and then being like, oh, where did I read that? And just keeping track of it's a really good idea.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because the amount of times you can read stuff when you're doing tax research, you can read something, be like, I know I've read that somewhere, but I haven't noted it down, and now it's taking me forever to find it again.
Yeah.
it's such a waste of time, isn't it?
It's very frustrating when you do it, because you're like, oh, I should just wrote it down, but it happens.
It's even more annoying when you take detailed notes and that's like the only thing you've missed as well.
Yeah.
The one thing you realise that you need later down the line.
Yeah, it always is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So for you personally, then, outside of kind of the time element, what would you say is the thing that you find the most difficult about doing tax research? And have you got any examples?
I don't have a specific example as such, but it's knowing when to stop, I think, and knowing, like, if you've overthought something. I think you only get to that stage after a bit more experience, to be honest, because it is something that I do struggle with now, is have I answered the question, then question yourself so much that you go back to it and you start re-looking at it, only to come to the same answer, which isn't helpful.
Yeah.
But I guess you get that from having a bit of support and guidance along the way, and like the more you do it, then obviously the more confidence you'll get that you're right.
Yeah. It's kind of because there's so much information out there, which makes it hard to know when to stop.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, what have you been doing to try and, I suppose, know when enough's enough?
I think for me, I'm trying to just stick to like the credible resources rather than read everything that's out there. Because obviously you can be taken down a route that you shouldn't be before you find out it's incorrect. If you start reading like an article off Google that isn't like, you don't know who's wrote it. Yeah, because that creates even more questions that you didn't even need to have.
Yeah. You almost kind of want to put a stop to an avenue, don't you, before you kind of get too entangled in it.
Yeah, you want to find out whether I think like proper, rather than just kind of assuming it is the case, and you do have to look at it, try and find like the conditions and apply them before you get in too much detail is a good idea.
Yeah. So for you personally, Autumn, what is it that made you kind of want to get better at doing tax research?
I just want to be good at my job, I think. And it's more interesting if you get involved and get stuck in. It definitely makes the time go quicker anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think I've always just have like an interest in understanding things and understand how the legislation works, and how to research is like a key part of your role if you're advising clients.
Yeah.
So it's always good to have a better understanding of something.
Yeah. Do you feel like if you were good at tax research, then it would like set you up for the rest of your career in a way?
Yeah, definitely. Because even if you like go into a different type of tax or a different area, or you choose to specialise, then nobody can take that skill away from you. It's something that you've developed yourself and you can apply it to anything, really.
Yeah. I suppose, especially with tax legislation changes anyway, even if you stay in the same area, say corporation tax,
yeah,
then you're never gonna know like all the answers to that anyway, I don't think, personally.
Yeah, we never know what to expect.
No, exactly. What kind of things have you tried to do then to improve your tax research, do you think?
So I think one thing that I've been trying to do consciously is where I actually know the right answer and I know it's correct, I've tried to try and find the guidance to reconfirm it, because that's quite helpful, because then that's developing that skill of researching and how to do it quickly, because you already know the answer in your head that you're looking for. And just trying to be more aware of things, I think.
Yeah, aware of
Different legislations and where if you go through the legislation, you can find different sections, which is something I went through on your course, and you can identify what might be relevant. And even if you got like a bit of inkling that it might be, then look into it and find out whether it is.
So knowing kind of the relevant resources to go to have a look at, and the parts within that to look at. Yeah. So have you spent some time then like learning, I suppose, find that all the resources that you think are relevant for you?
Yeah, sorry. And also like going through Tollys and seeing like the different functions and what the search functions do and things like that has been really helpful.
So becoming like familiar with the resources at your disposal in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
What thing in relation to tax research do you think you're trying to get better at now in particular then? Is there anything that you're working on? Say, is it speed or be more thorough? You know, what do you think it is?
I think it'll always be speed, but like I think sometimes I struggle with trying to like identify what the issue is sometimes. Like trying to like be clear in my mind of the facts before I start is a big thing. Rather than being a bit wishy-washy and not really understanding properly. So making sure I've got a good understanding before I start.
So how have you been going about trying to do that then? Do you know, like not just jump into the research straight away? Do you kind of take a step back and think, what is it that I'm doing first? What things have you tried?
So I've been working on a couple of projects this week where I've instead of, because normally I just go straight into research mode and like we're not asked the questions, but this time I've gone back to the client to ask questions first. Because that'll refine my what I need to look at anyway. Like it'll eliminate some of the legislation that I don't need to look at, which will obviously save me time as well. So it'll work on the speed.
Have you found that that's helped them kind of going to the clients and getting more facts up front?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's helpful to know anyway. Because if I didn't go back when I do, then you might find a week or two later after you've done some research that the matter was different, and that in turn affects what you've come to.
Yeah, yeah. Or finding out that you basically you've looked at something that's completely not relevant to the to the thing that the client needs. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think it's not being too worried about asking the client too many questions as well, because at the end of the day, you need to know the information before you can get to the right answer anyway.
Yeah, agreed. To be fair, I actually remember earlier in my career, for some reason, I used to think it was like bad to go and ask the client a question and get some information from them. Is that something that you feel like is being the same for you as well, and they kind of getting past that point to feel like actually this is the right thing to do, we should definitely do this?
Yeah, because I think when you were starting out in your career, you kind of tend to think that you're bothering people, but at the end of the day you need to get to the right answer, so you need to do that fact finding activity first to get to the point where you can start.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I used to feel the same for actually about bothering people, but actually what's going to bother them more? The fact it's taking you 2 weeks to do something because you had to do it again, or you asked them like a question for 5 minutes. What would you say then are your top tips to people who are trying to get better at their tax research? What do you think's like really helped you the most?
I think just speaking to people helps a lot. Like, because it's easy to think you're by yourself and you're just being silly or you don't understand something, when in fact that other people are probably struggling with the same point, and it's good to like try and collaborate with people and like talk to other members of staff in the office about things and see what they think. Because sometimes you find that they have some valuable information that you haven't come across, or they can direct you in the right way that you need to go.
So I think you said earlier on in the episode that you basically started doing tax research probably about 6 months ago because of your current role and stuff. I mean, what is it that you'd have liked to have known then? What would have really helped you in relation to tax research and you wish you'd have known it back then?
I think I'd wish I'd had somebody to show me what resources we have available rather than just finding them along the way, because it would have given you a better starting point. And just, I think when you first start, you feel like you're looking for a needle in a haystack sometimes, but you can't, just knowing that everything you do will help you speed up eventually. And if something takes you a while the first time, that's fine. And not trying to rush it too much, because I think that's what held me back at first, is that I was trying to rush things and getting to the wrong answer and not just taking a step back and thinking, well, what does this actually mean?
Yeah, yeah. If people do want to get in contact with you or to more find out a little bit more about you, is there anywhere in particular where they should go?
LinkedIn's probably the best place to get me. I'm very responsive to my messages, so yeah, any questions, just drop me a message.
So for Autumn, a big thing that she took away from the masterclass was where to look and where to go to find information. With one of the one-on-ones that she's had with me, she showed me her log from a current difficult research task that she's doing. It was an Excel sheet with like every single resource that she'd looked at, case law, legislation sections, HMRC guidance references, I've never used Excel in this way before, but I thought it was a good idea, so I just thought I'd mention it here. Next up, and the last guest for this episode, is Monica Georgegiller, who has not long moved out of HMRC after working there for circa 6 years. Could you just tell us a little bit about kind of where you're at with your tax career now?
Well, currently, I think that this is my 7th year in tax. But before I was in HMRC for about 6 years, and I moved to the private sector in December. So I don't know what's that considered. Like, it's not even midway.
No.
But yeah, I have some tax experience working in HMRC and now in a private firm.
Yeah. And does this mean that you've done CTA or ATT or anything, or have you qualified through like a different route?
So I did a lot of training with HMRC, but during my time there, I also did the CTA exams by myself. So I qualified, I think it's been 2 years now, 2 years now.
So that's a lot of commitment. So HMRC didn't cover the costs or give you study leave or anything?
No, usually they don't, because, you know, they have their own graduate program. So usually they wouldn't cover, the fees for CTA, but they did give me some time to revise before the exams.
So for you now then, particularly since you come out from HMRC, I know from conversations we've had, you've got a lot more involved with doing tax research. So how does it kind of feature for you then at work doing tax research? How did you get involved in that?
Well, in HMRC, we didn't do any research, tax research in the sense that you do it, in the private sector. So when I joined my current team, obviously, you know, we get requests from clients. Sometimes it is a straightforward answer, sometimes it is not. And as I have been asked in the past, let's say, six to nine months to undertake tax research. And I think that was the point where I realized that I haven't done it. And it is a skill that I think is going to be very useful for my career in tax as an advisor. And since then, I've been trying to find opportunities to do it a bit more and become better at it.
How did you find it when you first started doing it? And can you remember what that moment was like?
It was overwhelming. I think that was my first, my initial response, because I started looking, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of first with the legislation, then HMRC guidance, but the way the research was branching out and trying, you know, to confine it in what you need at the moment and the facts of the current client, my head was spinning as to how, you know, I'm going to get all this information that I found, but actually make it into coherent and usable advice.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think the first request that I had to undertake research was mostly legislation, but then case law came into the picture, and that made it even worse.
Yeah. She really got thrown into the deep end with that then.
Yes, it was. It was a little bit, but it is such a vital skill to have as, you know, as a tax advisor.
So it sounds like right at the start, then the things you probably found most difficult was the amount of volume of information, not kind of getting lost in that so that you're not looking at things that aren't relevant, and then also taking that and putting it into something that's kind of understandable for someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point. And the last point you made, to make it understandable, but someone else.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be able to use it like that.
So what have you kind of done then, do you think, to become better at doing those things then?
So the first thing I did was, you know, to speak with colleagues that were more experienced than I was at the time, and I get some advice. Then I asked, you know, for previous research papers other people have done, just to get an idea of what that looks like. Then I look in internal resources as well. And in the end, I found your tax research training. And in general, I was just looking for anything that would help me. That was because I felt quite lost in that process. And that's how I came across the training as well.
Yeah.
So, and just getting, you know, any opportunity that I can to just develop the skill, especially now after the training, I feel I have a better, I have the structure now. So it's just now applying it and getting the experience I need.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like now, like taking knowledge and putting it into practice, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah. So what areas do you think you're kind of working on like yourself now, then are there any like particular aspects of tax research that you want to get better at?
I would say the biggest one would be case law. And I think because this is something that it takes more time in general. There are, you know, obviously there's case law, you can find commentary and everything, but in some cases it's just a case of you need to sit down and actually read the decision.
Yeah.
which I don't find particularly easy at that moment in time. So I would say probably that's going to be my biggest challenge. How to just like keep improving, because yeah. I have found it useful in general in my area of practice to use case law, especially in communications with HMRC.
Yeah.
So definitely something I think it's going to be very, very useful for me. And yes, I think that's going to be my biggest challenge and my biggest focus going forward.
How are you in terms of like finding relevant case law? Do you find that difficult, or is it just like the actual sitting down and reading of it once you've found it?
I would say, well, the first part of your question, I'm not really sure, because it takes a while to actually see if something is relevant or not. But I would say probably the sitting down and reading the actual case, the decision. Yeah. I think, yes, that's what I find more challenging. It's not the easiest read.
No, it's not. It's not written usually in like the most basic English, is it? It's written with like complicated words, and I suppose it's very legal in the way that it's written, which makes sense. It's from a judge.
And if you're not a lawyer, it can be, yeah, exactly, a bit challenging.
Yeah, it can. And it makes it take more time, doesn't it? I bet sometimes you feel like you need to read stuff more than once to be like, what on earth does that mean?
Exactly. Break down the sentences. Like a big paragraph, definitely, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of after all this stuff you've done then with like trying to get better yourself and coming on the masterclass and all that, have you got any tips you think that you can give to people that would really help them to improve their tax research?
Well, I think it was one of the, the aspects we discussed quite a lot during the masterclass. And that was, at least for me, it was how important it is to write down things that, and, you know, sources that you have discounted or disregarded for whatever reason. Because it has happened to me that I had to do, you know, I did a piece of research, I had the answer for that particular query, and then it was for a, you know, different client. It was something similar, but obviously the facts of the case were the same. And I had to go back to resources that I had checked. And because I hadn't noted down why, you know, I didn't need to check that for this particular client, which meant it was double work for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that the biggest tip that I got, you know, from the masterclass as well, was that to have a list, kind of like, you know, make a research library, if you want, because if you're in one area of tax, usually you will have things that you have to go back to. So just to make, you know, like a checklist of the sources, and especially if I'm discounting something, disregarding something, just to note why very briefly.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would have saved me a lot of time the second time around to do it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, isn't it? Like, I think when you're doing the research at the time, to take down those notes and say why you're disregarding stuff feels like a lot of effort, but actually it saves you a lot of time in the long run, doesn't it, when you come back to it later?
Exactly. And that allows you to build that, you know, that library with very useful sources that you can use, and you can share wider with colleagues as well, you know, when they have to undertake something similar, and save time for many people, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I think
as well, you know, whoever is going to review that, you know, that the task, the tax research paper, I think it's very useful for them as well.
Yeah, I agree. As a reviewer, being able to see what someone's looked at and why they've decided it's not relevant is really helpful, I think, because then you can quickly see whether someone's made like sensible conclusions or not. And if obviously you don't think they have, you can address it at that point, I think, which is useful, isn't it? So for anyone that might be considering like getting better at tax research themselves then, and maybe even considering going on the masterclass, what would you say to them?
I would say I found it very, very valuable. I think, I don't know how it is for people, you know, that are more experienced, but given my HMRC background, I am a novice in this area. I found it very, very useful to get some basics down. So, and also the tips as well, you know, from the other attendees, there were discussions. So this exchange has really helped me. But yeah, I found it very valuable myself, and it is skills that I, and and tips that I can see, you know, I can apply straight away. And then, of course, build on that with experience. So I would definitely recommend it.
Show notes for this episode can be accessed at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/TTPP60. And there's all the links mentioned throughout this episode within the show notes. A huge thank you to Devinda, Autumn and Monica for giving up their time to share their stories. And I'm thrilled, of course, that all of them have found the masterclass so helpful and that they were also engaged during the live sessions. I've put a lot of time into creating the masterclass and I've not seen anything out there that does something similar. I really wanted a strong focus on attendees taking away practical tips that they can start using straight away. And I'm glad that these three got exactly that. I've designed the masterclass to give you everything you need to successfully develop your tax research skills from a practical perspective. It covers what I'm calling the tax research process with a deep dive into each element. It includes practical exercises that are gone through in the classes, as well as suggested homework exercises so you can really embed and implement what you've learned. And it also includes live demos so that you can see things in action. Full details of the masterclass can be found at thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com/masterclasses, including how to enrol. But if you're interested in something more bespoke and exclusive, then please do get in contact with me by email at jack@thetaxprofessionalspodcast.com. But that's it for this episode. I hope you found the episode useful and have taken away some useful points to help you to progress, develop, and improve your tax career. Until next time.